Yo, what's up? On this episode, we got my boy Rich Aronovich is here. We discuss trauma, where the trauma comes from, how your family affects you, getting out of your own head, dealing with molestation, and how all those things affect how you approach women and how you can be the best version of yourself.
That's right. And also, we're on Patreon. It's me and Dante. We get into some deep stuff on the Patreon episode. It's really, really cool. We talk about how your family affects you, how we evolve as human beings, what you have control over and what you don't have control over. And speaking of what you have control over, also oral sex tips. So definitely join us over at patreon.com/manschool202. It helps us out a lot. It helps us keep the show going. And so, you know, we really appreciate it if you join us, and we're doing a lot of fun stuff over there. So join us if you will.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. What's up, GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do?
I'm not a beta male.
The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited.
Wow, finally.
You don't. I have said that 500 times before.
Right.
But this time I mean it.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. We got a special guest in the building, dude, that I've known for a long time. But I don't want to get into that yet. Harry, how are you doing?
Oh, me? I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, why would you even ask
me that? I apologize for asking. I'm sorry.
That's just disrespectful.
You almost smushed me on that one. You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, let's do
it.
I want to introduce this dude, special dude in my heart. I've known this dude 20 years. Grinding in this comedy fucking hellhole we call. He's even been doing it longer than me. And still got a smile.
I also haven't heard of me.
Y'all, give it up for my boy Rich Aronovich, y'all. Give it up for Rich Aronovich. What's going on, baby?
Oh, you know, I saw Harry last night. We did a gig.
He told me you murdered.
That's right.
And look where I am today.
He called me and said, Rich Aronovich murdered.
Marvin, that new sound you're looking for? Listen to this.
I did. I held a payphone open.
I was disappointed. I thought, first of all, I have no axe to grind. The comedy of Harry, I haven't seen for a long time. And I'm like, that shit is fun. And they were like, They weren't giving it up.
They didn't give it up all night. They were also inconsistent. One of those weird audiences where they would give a little. You're like, okay, all right, got them. And then they just give up on you. And you're like, all right, I'm not doing something.
I mean, they were older.
Yeah.
And they were in, you know, they had money, I think. Yeah. South Orange.
Well, they built their own.
They built their own movie theater.
I don't want to go to the city, build my own.
I want grilled chicken with no grill marks.
I want a grilled salmon with no grill marks. Real order, by the way.
Real order.
And then I also think what helped is the comic that went before me talked about murdering her 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And that made them go, whoo?
It
sort of helped me because it was like, and I made fun of it a little bit. Not to disrespect her, but or him.
Fuck her.
Yeah, it was a little harsh.
It was a little harsh. I enjoyed the shit out of it because it was interesting, but it didn't get the results in the room.
Yeah,
like you and I as comedians,
we'd like
hearing something interesting, even if it doesn't work.
It's got to be finessed. You know what I mean? Like when you do racial stuff outside your own racial stuff, when you do like, you know, sort of edgy, you got to kind of finesse it a little bit.
Sure.
You don't want them to go like, what a fucking monster. You know what I mean? Like you want to. Can we curse on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what's interesting? And I've said this, and people say, oh, you can't say nothing. Every white dude I talk to goes, oh, you can't say nothing. I go, yeah, you can.
I thought that it was tense. This is what I said. You know, I said it was tense. It's less tense. And I go, no, everything's fine. Because we're concerned about a fringe. You know, you can't cancel someone who doesn't have anything to cancel.
Right.
So what are we afraid of?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in a fucking movie theater in South Orange.
Right.
Cancel.
Right.
I'm canceled.
Yeah.
There's, you know, God already hates me. It's very obvious.
Canceled. Here's the thing. Yeah. Rich is
God.
Rich
please
is
cancel
a,
it. So I never.
Rich is a really creative dude, and
absolutely.
He throws it. Yeah, he throws it on the fucking grill. He commits like a motherfucker. Thing is, we had a conversation maybe a couple of years ago, and I said, Rich, you get, and I don't know if this is a Jewish thing or not. Maybe
probably
it is
a Jewish thing. Anytime you got to ask that, it's
don't interrupt
a Jewish
the man.
but it was Rich would be killing. one person not getting it, and he would focus on that one person.
Can I say something?
Yeah, yeah.
I actually remember this conversation. Yeah. See, I'm my biggest enemy, right?
Yeah.
So like my what happens, I'll get a compliment, I'll put it through my head, and it'll come out negative. So people are like, God, you're so funny. And what I hear is, you're unsuccessful. You understand?
I
have this really self-hatred thing that's going on.
Thing.
I mean, look,
it's all comedians,
you know what
actually.
Jews do? Jews like to bring up the Holocaust like a hot girl brings up her boyfriend. You know, out of nowhere, you're like, you know, it's like we always want to bring it up, but there is some historical stuff to that. Like, parents are, it's never going to work out, death, doom, and destruction. I said, hey, remember Al Del Benny?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm good friends with Al. I'm going to borrow a bag from Al. I'm on a trip. I don't have a bag. My mom had the bag ripped, me losing the friendship, and I haven't even left my apartment yet.
No.
I was going to get a job at Playboy TV. Big money. It was like me and two other dudes, they were testing us. She said, if you get fired by episode 3, it's not your fault. I don't even have the fucking job, and I'm fired.
Who is this? Who's saying this?
My mother.
Yeah,
my mom,
of course.
My mother.
You know, they've even talked about that stuff, that kind of negativity being built into the DNA. Like the trauma, the post-trauma, the fact that you grow up with this trauma in the context of that, and it repeats on yourself.
And this is, again, bringing up but my grandfather believed that the Nazis were going to invade Poland, right? He paid off soldiers. His whole family did not think that was possible. That's why he's alive, because he believes the worst could happen.
Right.
So it's sort of like a survival mechanism.
Genetic.
But I have worked on it tremendously.
Yeah.
So what I do is now I'm starting to do a little meditation, and I don't know what I believe in, but I'm just going, help me be as funny as possible so I can be of service to these people. Help me get out of my own way so I can be of maximum use to the other. So like, for example, sometimes like, you know, if whatever, I'll instead of it being negative, I'll try to like enjoy it. Like usually if someone heckles me, I'll agree with them. You suck. You have no idea. You can't hate me more than I hate me, and I'll stand next to them. Get a puppet. You should do magic. Cut your hair. It's a gimmick. And
you
see me do it?
I've seen you.
Yeah. One time I had a...
because it's diffusing. You can't... I suck. I agree. What else are you going to talk about?
Yeah.
I've gotten it. So I had a guy after the West Side. He came at me. Like, I've never seen a guy more insulted. He had a Peloton shirt, and I want to talk about how I'm fat. So I used his shirt to get into some bit about my, you know, whatever. And he came up to me after, and I had a great set, which I don't say unless I really had a great, and he was like, you're the worst comedian I've ever seen. And I'm like, wow, that's like, and I said, I think,
if you got to be the worst.
I mean, that's,
you want to be the worst that ever.
I mean, the ever, like, he's like, your style is out of, it was brutal. Now, I could have said, hey, you want to take this outside? I'll give you a 40-minute head start, you fat fuck. But I didn't. Instead, I said, hey, man, I wasn't here to upset you. I was here to entertain you. And I think you misunderstood. I did use your shirt to get into something, but I was insulting myself. I wasn't insulting you. And you look great. I'm sure, I didn't see the before, but the after's great. I think you misunderstood. I said, hey, I'm not for everybody. You're a vegetarian. I'm serving steak. That's totally cool. You have your right to your opinion. But thank you for not doing it on the internet. Thank you for doing it to my face. Right? Thank
and
you for not going
say?
To Yelp.
What
and
did he say?
His whole energy changed, and he immediately felt like a dick. It was the smart... Nice. It was like he was like, yeah, it's just like I'm working really hard, you know? And I go, dude, you look great, man. And it was like he wanted to be fight, and I was like, no, I agree. Yeah, I'm not... fuck yeah, I suck. What? And he left fucking confused. He didn't call the club. He didn't make a problem for me. My ego was all over me for 3 days.
Right, right.
You pussy! All 3 days.
But let me ask you something, Rich. Like yesterday, I saw you killing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I saw you killing.
Murder! Murder!
Murder. Out in the streets, Dante. Out in the streets. They call it murder. Did you know that?
Murder!
That's what you were doing. So now, do you leave that set unhappy? Are you one of those guys? Or, like, are you going to appreciate what that was?
Well,
you did turn that room around and killed, man.
No, I had a very good feeling leaving. We hung out after a little bit. I also liked, I mean, I knew everyone except for, we're not going to say her name. I don't really know her. I've seen a couple of, but I've known you for many years.
Yeah,
I know Robin for many years. I know Joe for many years.
Yeah.
So it was a great, like, part of the reason I love being, New York has a real community of comedy.
Sure.
I lived in LA for 5 years. It's not it's bullshit. It is, what can you do for me, tit for tat, that kind of thing. There's no,
how you been? Oh, I just finished this.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I remember seeing, you know, I just, you could, it's very transparent.
Yeah.
And they're also, like, it's not everybody, But usually those people started in New York and then they moved over and, you know, like...
And they were L.A. people.
I won't say, like, yeah, like...
They
like,
became
you know,
L.A.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, some of them did, some of them didn't, but they'll help to help, you know. It's just good energy, but that's... I love that.
I'm surprised you remember that conversation.
I definitely did, because because even though I don't have... I have enough...
What was the conversation? We didn't get into the full extent.
It was basically saying I'm a self-sabotager. Like, I could be killing, and I see one guy who's upset, and I focus on the one guy, and my brain will go to him. My eyes will go to him. It's like... It's the opposite of stage years.
And he would do it until he lost the people that
I was already killing.
Because they would be like,
see,
what
I'll see the one person. I think all comedians see the one person, but I've always been able to go, don't know what his problem is. That's odd. Everything else is running smoothly. Let's keep going. But some people
will
see that and just go, fuck, what the fuck? Why?
Rich would fixate on it.
Yeah, I would obsess.
I would even be in
like
the back
like
going.
Like a pit bull jaw.
I would be in the back going...
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You're waving him off.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, no. This is this guy. I don't care. Your grandmother just died, and you've got full blown AIDS. You're gonna fucking laugh.
He's killing, and he's going. What about this guy?
Yeah, I gotta get this. And that's the other thing. Like, there's opposite comics who have stage or rabbit ears stages where they see the one guy laughing. Like, I killed. And you're like, were you in the same fucking room?
Did you just run into Warren Holstein again?
Oh, Jesus.
Is he still doing comedy?
I haven't seen him in a while.
He's
I see
a
him
dad.
On Facebook every once in a while.
He looks like he's definitely writing.
We had him on the show, and it all makes sense. Like it
we
all
delved into everything that happened that makes sense.
Because he had his son. He was on. He had his son, and his mother is like he's like Gilbert Grape. Like his mother's teeth are broken. Like they're like you know how when you. You know how when somebody, a cartoon gets hit in the head with a mallet and then the teeth crack, right?
Yeah.
This is what he said. I've never seen it. He says, and we had to stop letting her see the baby until she got her teeth fixed because she was scaring the child. That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I was like, now I get it. I get it. Like
if you delve into all of us, there's some fucked up shit within the confines.
But nobody stands looking for the approval of strangers if that they're good inside.
I think 99% there's some damage if you're doing some comedy, some hurt or something. I think
or you won't stay.
There's definitely.
Oh, you're definitely fucked up
for comedy.
You just the last episode you just talked about how you're not going to your sister's funeral.
Yeah, there's
that's fucked up. There's something fucked up.
No,
you don't see there's a problem there?
No.
You don't see that's even a bigger problem.
But here's why.
Why?
Because I don't put stake in people who don't respect me and don't have the ability. I mean, look, to be very honest, like I understand that hurt people.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so the trauma and stuff that she was like, so for instance, You talk about grandfather and stuff going to the Holocaust. My dad was born 1920.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in Jim Crow.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this country. So his father was a porter who in order to feed the family snuck Canadian whiskey. My grandmother had this huge overcoat. Mm-hmm. She sewed pockets and he used to bring hooch. In the coat, he could put 16 bottles of Canadian whiskey, and he would bring it down. He would bootleg in order to feed 16 kids. So, what really made me understand the problems that I had with my dad was that is the fact that he was so about the approval of strangers, kind of like the same thing,
kind of like what we do for a living.
But here's the thing, was. He really needed the validation of strangers, and he didn't care about the validation of the people that were closest to him.
It's classic.
So he didn't
because that should be or in his mind probably. I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
Unconditional love. In other words, I can yell and scream at my parents no matter what. They're always going to love me no matter what.
Well, it's also I think the other thing is
I'm safe.
When you have,
I think there's a problem with that.
When you have no value, when you don't think you're worth shit, if you like me, something's wrong with you. I know I ain't shit. How come you don't know? So if you think I'm a good dude,
it sounds like big ego with low self esteem, doesn't it? There's always a duality. There's going to be a dichotomy there.
He was like,
I'm the biggest piece of shit in this universe. Is probably what was going on. Well, did he drink a lot?
No, he didn't drink.
He didn't drink the hooch.
But what he did do was like he saved every kid in Brooklyn. Like
he was a rescue guy.
Yeah. But what happened was my clarity about this. Was that I understood? I started to just look at it in perspectively about here's a dude that grew up in separate water fountains during Jim Crow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so where does he get the ability for self actualization and self fulfillment? That's not even and that's the thing we're at that age of that generation where it was survive. There was nothing about self-fulfillment or self-actualization. It was, if your kids don't die, you did good.
Yeah.
And we're at a place where we can start to kind of pursue this kind of our own, define what our happiness is and figure out how to get there. And the generation after us, they just take it for granted that this. Well, I want to juggle, you know, like it's right, there's right, no right. There's no responsibility in a lot of cases. But what? So my issues with him, even though there was a lot of neglect and emotional abuse, I understand that he didn't have the ability. Or the emotional acuity to be anything but he. Like, you can't get blood out of a rock.
So, and wait a minute. That statement tells me you're fucked up. That statement tells you. Yeah. There's a reason you're. There's some damage there that needs to be looked at.
My fixing it is to forgive him.
Absolutely.
And to forgive myself for it. And to look at it in perspective of time and history and what it is. And that is what now.
What's up with your sister, though? How come you can't forgive her?
Because she's never asked for forgiveness.
They don't have to ask for forgiveness. Well, she doesn't. You have to forgive.
Well, I forgive her for her inability to do that, but I don't. But it continues. The abuse continues.
She abuses you, or she?
She tries, and I.
Yeah,
don't,
you just go. You're
I
not
just
standing
don't
up
give
for it.
Access.
So I, then maybe you're taking care of yourself.
I will not give access, and every time that I want to give access, my because we're taught family, and then I would. I've been through this road. Yeah. And I can.
This rattlesnake keeps biting me. Why do I keep petting it?
And now I go as soon as I hear the, I go. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And okay. I stop it in the...
And this is called self-care.
Yeah.
This isn't about her. This is about you taking care of yourself.
Right.
Because she's doing what she's doing.
Yeah, and she's never going to stop. She's never...
It's very... To me, it's so... Like, when you get stuck... Like this is what's awesome about me, if I can say that.
Sure.
I heard what you said.
I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah.
I would have never...
I heard what you said. I took it in, and I went, there's something there. Rather than demonizing you for giving me constructive criticism... Because I remember, like, when I started Kevin Hart, before he was Kevin Hart, pulled me aside, started giving me advice. Mm. And my little 19 or 20-year-old ego was like, who the fuck does this guy think he is?
Right.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was not ready.
Yeah.
But then I really got older. I go, you know what? There might be something to... You know what? You're right. Okay. I agree.
Now, my younger sister...
I didn't mean that
she's
I'm
older,
awesome.
She's older than me. Right? She's older than me, but she's my youngest of the sisters. I have set boundaries, boundaries and respectful boundaries. She has complied and came forward, and we have a great relationship.
So there's hope.
Yeah,
but in that department, not the other one.
The other one is
not the other.
Yeah, the other one who's going to be.
But it's understanding. But I also am not. I'm not also. You don't get a pass for being a dirtbag when I've said to you specifically, this is unacceptable.
Right.
And you still keep going, well, fuck, or deny it, or denying my faith. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
I have a harder time forgiving someone who was hurtful to someone I care about than if they were hurtful to me. That's a big problem for me.
Yeah, that Nightingale syndrome. Like,
is that what it's called?
My
cousin denied my grandmother access to her kids her whole life.
Yeah.
So she never got to meet her great-grandkids there.
Right.
It makes me just sick being in a room with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because of that. And I don't know what really... I said, I can't... My grandmother... There's nothing she could have done that could have warranted that behavior.
Right.
But again, I'm taking poison hoping someone else dies. I'm the one who's suffering for it.
You also don't know what was being... Have you ever had a conversation with them about that?
It won't go well, so no. I don't. Okay. I don't have enough serenity in me. You know, my grandmother and I were very, very close. She's right. gone. And so, yeah, there's an
Why
anger
did they
there.
Deny your grandmother?
She comes from a pretty, you know, screwed up family. I don't know what to tell you. It's weird.
My nephews did that to my mother.
And you want to put hands on them.
Well, I don't... It was interesting because my mother... I actually think that my mother died because of it. Like my father died in 2011, and my mother cried about not having access to those kids regularly. Ugh. And my mother raised both of them anyway. Oh, and dude. But my sister she's a half sister, and she's my father's daughter, and she is just selfish and there was no loyalty in her, and so there was no loyalty in the kids, and she just wouldn't, and my mother basically, I feel like she died of a broken heart because she didn't get a chance to see those kids, which is really interesting because she literally would have I think she would have stayed alive longer just to spend time with those kids.
My cousin, my mom's first cousin, had a brain tumor. They basically gave her a few months to live, and she said, fuck you, and lived for, I think, 15 or 20 years after, where they were like, you get your affairs in order. She's like, no, I have grandkids. I'm not.
Yeah.
And that love kept her around.
Oh, you make a decision.
No, I'm not dying. Fuck you.
Dude, well, you can also let go.
That's what I mean. Yeah. My mom made a decision. I'll tell you what, the day that my mother died, I came in, I said, what do you want to eat? And because we were living in this house together, just me and her, and I was taking care of her. And I was like, what do you want? And she was like, I don't know. What do you feel like? And I go, well, you know you can have anything you want, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes, I know, right?
Yeah.
And I go, so she goes, how about Chinese? We ate Chinese food. I was tired because I'd been gigging all weekend. It was a Monday or a Tuesday. I was still tired. I went to bed. I heard her go to bed. And then she just went in her sleep. And next morning, I woke up Saturday. Actually, it was a Friday.
It's Friday because I remember it being Saturday when I got
Saturday
the text.
Morning. That's yeah, brutal. And she was, but she absolutely had made it. She made sure I didn't have any one Friday. I didn't have no gigs, and I just went to sleep early. I'm gonna get some sleep, and she just boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of those stories where they're like they wait till you get in, and then they
because you make the decision. You go, I'm enough. And I think what's interesting even about that is that your selfishness wants like. She died at 82, and my sadness, and Harry and I was talking about this because his grandfather's old, and I said, look, if she was 182, I still wouldn't have been okay.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's never okay.
No, right.
And so you got to prepare yourself
in
the context of this. The other thing is the trauma that we go through.
And appreciate it while it's there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But and that's the one thing.
My grandfather's remote today. That's it. That's all I did. I saw him for 10 minutes, and I was like,
Doug,
you know what?
Time with my mom. Like, my Jeep, the steps.
Yeah.
I put those steps so my mom could get in the Jeep. She used to come. New Year's, she used to come out.
Have a ball.
Get drunk. Some dude was hitting on her. Like, she's trying to fuck my mom.
I'm sorry. I had a few too
hot.
Many.
She was hot. She was
there was one
up.
Guy in the crowd who wasn't laughing. You were drowning yourself.
And I was like, this is my girlfriend.
Yeah. I got to get my wind back.
Mrs. Nero. Now it's Mr. Aronovich.
And my stepson.
And my stepson is older and bigger than me.
It's important to try to not get in your head. Like, I get that feeling because I have had those instincts for years. I remember one time there was a girl who was... Like going, you know, all you walk around all day and you make all these, a lot of voices and stuff. Like you talk to yourself. I go, well, you think you have it bad. At least you get to leave. I'm stuck with me all day.
right.
You get to go to work. You get a reprieve. I'm stuck here all day with this brain.
But you know what I love most about this is why I will never quit doing stand-up ever. I don't care if I became a giant movie star. When your mouth says something that your brain did, I was like, oh, that was good. Like, you know what I mean? When you're in the flow,
when it's
just not like you don't think your way out of good instincts, to me, that is the high. You can't get a high like that.
Yeah.
And you can't explain this to people.
Yeah.
When you're like, man, that is
In the moment.
Being in the moment. Being present.
Being present, yeah.
But I find, you know, and a lot of dudes who have, like, these relationship problems and stuff, man, because relationships, even male-female, is that it's an extension of those family relationships. And
absolutely.
What I think is really crazy is how you go under a certain trauma at whatever your age is at, 10 years old or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You have a limited amount of intellect and social dynamics that you understand, but you have to move on.
Right.
So you use whatever you know at 10 years old to survive this trauma.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is then you become 40, 50, and you're still using the coping mechanisms that you figured out when you were 10, even when you're 50. So, for instance, I did a consult. I did a relationship consultation. I don't know if I told this, but this guy called me up. He wanted to do a group consultation with this girl. She was 26. He was like 30. She was a stripper. She kept fucking people. Like, every time he was late to pick her up or something would happen.
That's great.
She'd end up in a
10 minutes late. You got 7 minutes in you.
That's going to make your fucking commute real stressful.
I'm stressing about getting to Gotham on time. Yeah. Imagine if my wife go fuck somebody. Jeez, I got to go, guys.
And it also removes the anxiety for her, because if you're late, she's fucking. So she's good too. So,
jeez.
So I get her on the phone, and she just kept threesomes and hookups with girls, and she's eating just. And I said to her, first thing I said, have you ever been sexually molested? She goes, yes.
Right.
I go, how old were you? She says, I was 9. Right. I go, for what period of time? She goes, 9 to 16. I go, okay, so I want you to understand this, and you need to forgive yourself, because this is a common way in which women who have been abused, and it's not what you think. What it is the intimacy is poisoned based on you're a child, and now you have the people that you trust, and they betray your trust. And so you have a problem understanding what intimacy is, because intimacy is also pain. And sex and intimacy, it's all get clumped together.
And it's also being vulnerable.
Well, you're vulnerable, and you feel you feel it's your fault somehow, because as a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, you don't have any other, and you can't even look. But what happens is you go, okay, this poison, this toxicity that's brought into my life is, say it's like arsenic. There's a difference if I take an eyedropper and put a couple of drops of arsenic down your throat. And there's a difference if I take a dropper of ice arsenic and I put it in a pool, and then I drink the pool. It softens it. It dilutes it. So the more sex she would have, the more the pain of intimacy was diluted. And so she separated intimacy from sex. And I'm just, it's just sex. I'm just a free spirit. And she was just fucking to dilute the pain in the first place, right. And she had not, but she didn't understand that was just kind of what worked at 9 years old. As she, you know, as she got older, it worked, and then she just continued this. And I said to her, you have to first forgive yourself, because you didn't know anything at 9 years old, and the crazy thing is that you were actually able to survive this trauma at 9 years old. Like, think with the limited amount of information you had, you were able to solve this and be resilient enough to survive this. The problem is, as you've moved through your life and you're 26 years old, or you're 40 years old, or you're 50, you have learned so much about the social dynamics, but you never reassess the problem so that the solution is based on all the entirety of the information that you understand. In relationships, you're still dealing with it as you would have if when you're a 9-year-old kid.
And I'm sure she feels damaged, that she's damaged goods, and that, you know, that my value is my sex.
Yeah.
Therefore, I will seek the approval. She's not much different than a comic.
Yeah.
You know, in that, like, I'll get men to give me dollar bills for my body.
Yeah.
And I'll fuck them, 'cause, you know what I mean? And that's... Price. I understand it.
Yeah.
I'm not, I feel bad, but that's
the same makeup.
It's the same thing. It's just the way it manifests. Yeah. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But if you reassess it, if you reassess the pain based on all that you've learned And it's like the whole thing when I was saying, like, why you focus on this one guy? Because that you want that you want the guy who doesn't like you. That's important. That's... You don't care about. And then when you realize, hey, he's not important.
No.
Like, and then right. and then the way we feel this kind of insecurity because of the fact of that people who we love or family members are saying, oh, you're not this or you're not that or this is not going to work or that's not going to work. When you look at the sum total of who they are, they suck at assessing the character of people. They're horrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to let them assess your character in the context of somebody who sucks at it,
mm-hmm.
it's absurd to do that. It's like letting a guy who's not a comic critique your comedy. You don't even do this.
I love when people do that.
Yeah,
but that's it's also a disservice to the rest of the people that are digging you. And I've been much better about it since I've worked on it because it's a muscle. It's a muscle you have to work
on. Keep doing
it's just like this girl needs to work on her self esteem, work on her self worth, work on honoring herself.
She's still gonna fuck people.
And she is going to fuck people. It's not going to happen overnight.
No.
There are times when someone, like, say I'm on a cruise and I'm, you know, this cruise, performing on a cruise, they don't know what, the, you know, you're not dealing with people paid any, they think it's a, you know. Yeah. So if they leave early, which does not happen often, where they do, I used to chase them. I don't know, been a wireless mic, and I fucking chase them out the door. Now I just go, oh, look, an early standing ovation. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I say. You know, and then I've done it where it's eating my lunch, and I find out later, they didn't speak English.
Yeah.
And so I take it like, oh, I wasn't entertaining enough for you. What, am I going to light myself on fire and walk on stuff? No, they don't speak English. It's a hard... Now, why do they come to the front row? I don't know. But when they come late, I make fun of them. I know that's not personal. They're just... Yeah. You know, you come late, you sit in the back, great. You come in the front, this is a little entitlement there.
Moreover than not, I don't think that people are malicious. Like, I don't think...
The intent is not there.
The initial intent, it's usually, I'm fucked up... I'm trying to validate myself by moving from point A to point B, and you happen to be in the way.
Even evil people don't think they're evil.
Right. Yeah, that's true. They never do.
They never do. You know what?
Well, and then
I'm just giving you the what for.
Yeah, I
But when do you delineate that? Because, I mean, I'm not a Trump guy. Right?
Look, we're obviously talking great people here. Yeah. Fantastic. What's your name? Harry Turginian?
Turginian, yeah.
Turginian, great guy. What is that? You're a big problem. You're a real problem.
Am I? Oh, jeez, that turned quick.
Where are you from? Where are you from, Harry?
I'm Armenian.
You're Armenian?
Armenian and Ecuadorian.
The great people love Armani suits. Great suits.
That's not the same thing.
Fantastic. It's totally the same thing. In fact, it's totally the same thing. And you're not even Gucci.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That guy doesn't have...
But he thinks he's a good guy.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't understand... There's a damage there.
He's a sociopath.
Right. So his father... Yeah. If you look at the psychology of that and that family, you go...
Sure.
He doesn't... He's incapable. What's so confusing to me is the people that buy into it, and they don't realize. They go, listen, my friend works in construction. He hired him and said, you can get half the money we agreed on, or you could sue me and I'll win, and you'll get nothing, and you'll lose money. Those are your options.
Yeah.
And they go, well, that's just business. I'm like, no, that's not business. That's
no integrity, yeah.
Yeah, that's a, you know.
Well, the first thing with that, I said, when he turned against Pence, and that dude carried water for him. Before he was the first
Mike
one with
Pence,
the red hat on.
Great guy, fantastic guy. He's from Indianapolis, which is a great country.
Okay.
Yeah, Pence.
When you turned
Pence,
on that dude,
I mean, you know, and also like the irony with the religious, like they've got to look past three cheats. No matter what, you know, he's cheating on all the. You got to look through, grab him by the pussy. You know, I have a mother. I don't like him. I like the policies. You know, that there's a justification. Right, you know what I mean?
But it just shows you that the whole ideology of these people is false. You know, the whole front is false. The whole thing has always been
false. It's a discussion not in good faith.
Yeah.
Correct. And you know what? The hypocrisy for me is I see a red hat and I have the same reaction as they see your skin.
Yeah.
Or they look at your last name or my religion. It's the same reaction. Like,
but I don't think
I'm muttering
wrong,
to myself. Because it's a choice.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Like, I go, I have try to have empathy for the cop who's pulling over, who's scared.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's a choice.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know, you were born into it with a badge.
Yeah.
Your skin color is your skin color.
Yeah.
You know?
And the programming. Right. It's the culture of it, the fact that you've bought into this, and I get that you've bought into this, and that this is what validates you as a person. Your patriotism validates you as a person. So you're really nothing.
So the programming can be, I mean, from society or from family. I know for me, I just this pandemic reassessed a lot of things for me because I ended up staying with my dad for a while. Right? Yeah. So I realized that I never had a chance. Psychologically, like in hindsight, yeah. With everything that so what happened was my dad was always kind of nuts growing up. It was very, you know, I always chalked it up to the guy's trying to. I gave him benefit of the doubt. He's raising three kids. He's got, you know, he's trying to. He came to America with nothing, and he's got the stress of two survive. Mortgages, and he's surviving.
Just
and all
trying to survive.
So, and I finally had enough of him and moved away. Started my own life. I couldn't do it anymore. So I just stopped communicating with him a little bit, with exceptions of seeing him here and there.
Yeah.
When I came back, it started up again. And what I realized just as an older person now, after 10 years, was, oh, okay, he's fucked up.
You really can't do this. You can't do anything but this.
Right. And also what I learned was he was so... so scared of everything. He was the worst case scenario guy, which made me the worst case scenario guy because that's how I was raised.
Yeah.
Everything is one time, and even when
Harry used to, when we've been doing this podcast 9 years, Harry go, I don't want to be the negative Nancy, but, and then he would be the negative Nancy. And I would,
nobody's going to listen.
So
you're going to get canceled before canceling was a thing.
There we go. And that's in my head. Like, literally, because
Now we're talking, I'm going to miss my spot. I'm missing my spot. The whole time.
Yeah.
I went, why'd I take this? I'm missing my spot. This is why people get God. Because that's the only thing that I go.
Well,
you know
it's
what?
An easier outside
it'll,
influence.
It'll work out. Who has it'll work out without something?
Right.
Drugs.
That's religion.
Religion.
It'll work out.
It'll
if
work
I just
out.
Do these
you
couple
get to
things.
You do the things. As long as you buy this specific brand, you. I had a guy on a plane tell me that my friend who was a Buddhist who got diagnosed with terminal cancer and felt bad for the doctor because it might have impacted his day negatively. Literally said. That must have been very stressful for you. I'm so sorry that you had to carry that
it's
burden.
Uber
this is
empathy.
What a this is what like a guy who I went. Do you know any good charities? I'm mistrusting. And he goes, yeah, this one's great. They do this work and that work. Didn't tell me it's his charity. Never took. I found out after he died. That's his charity. I went, oh my God, this guy's ridiculous. He's going to hell because he didn't buy the name brand. But Bill Cosby, no problem.
Yeah.
He'll be in.
No problem. And that to me, that's because you're like, stop playing God.
It's absurd.
Just be a nice. Maybe. Like, I'll ask questions if I see what you're doing. If you put a pamphlet up my nose, I'll get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're saying because of the need to push it on me.
Yeah. It's not the need. It's the idea. And I get what it is. I get the historical basis. We have these warring clans, and we're trying to make sure our clan does not disappear like the Assyrians or etc. So, therefore, the Jews procreate. Live together, eat at the same restaurants, live in the same neighborhood.
Sure, yeah.
They built communities where that's like, oh, they're strong. Why are the Jews always successful? Because they're community built based on their religion, right? Christianity, spread the word, convert, get more, recruit, because it's a survival mechanism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they, and to me, I go, if you live as an example, which is the whole chosen thing, whatever, and not that anyone's really doing it, but if I see what you're doing, I go, this person's like, and I'm gonna start asking questions. What's going on here? Because there's an energy that I will get to. If you go,
that feels different.
If you sell me something, I could smell you're selling me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. I used to tour with this guy. We'd smell this Jew's Zri, and I just ask him, "Do you make any money off it?" Yeah, I can tell. It's not. You're not really trying to heal my joints. You're trying to make a buck. It's very clear. The only organization that doesn't ask for your money is Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't want your money. Yeah. They turned down. This is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. They were going to go under, and Rockefeller said, I'm going to give you millions of dollars and make sure you save it because you guys are doing great work. And they said, we can't take your money because then you can tell us, you can have opinions about the way we run things. Mm-hmm. We'd rather go under than take your money.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, there's no motive. There's no money. We cannot make money.
Yeah.
It's against the whole traditions of that thing.
Well, you know, I just...
Fascinating.
I had an accident on a motorcycle. Somebody ran into the back of me.
Mm.
And the guy, I was trying to find a guy. I had a motorcycle guy who was just a dirtbag. And just... Mm. And I had sent... But we were close, and because of... I guess because of he was a little intimidated by me, he treated me well. But my friends, he would try and he would fuck my friends over. Mm. What was Guerrero's?
Alexis Guerrero's. Yeah.
You know Alexis, right? No. He bought a scooter from him. And the guy, my friend, I was like, I don't know. He goes, but he was the only guy that, who had the dealership of these electric scooters. And so Alexis bought a scooter from a comic friend of mine. And what he did was he worked everything out, took the back page of the financial agreement, and added $500 to it. And then when the kid checked with the bank, it didn't add up, and he conned him out of another $500.
Yeah.
And Alexis went to the guy, so the guy was like a dirtbag, and I guarantee you that he fucked me, but maybe I just couldn't tell, and I just don't go there anymore.
I had a guy screw me out of rent. I had a guy steal my apartment. And I wanted to, you know, physically harm this.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And then when I saw him in the street, I was like, "Oh, I'm less tough than I really think I am." Because I was like, "What am I really gonna do? I'm gonna beat him up for what? He's sick."
And the other thing is that you can't just beat up the part that you want to beat up. Like that guy has to be that guy all the time.
That's Brett Duggan's line. Your life is my revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he would say to people. Your life.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
Your life is my revenge.
Yeah, yeah. And you, this guy, like I used to, I had a, you know, every year, like I mean, I grew up in this neighborhood, and there was every year somebody would break into my car and steal my radio, my speakers, and shit. And
in this neighborhood?
Yeah. Well, not
oh my
now.
Gosh!
Great. Now there's a Starbucks and everything.
Oh my gosh!
And I would the day that they would steal it, I would go get the glass cleaned out, get the glass fixed, and then I would put a better stereo in it, right? Mm. And then I would go, I always wanted to be the guy who got the stereo stolen as opposed to being the guy
who has to steal it.
This guy is crawling through the glass in the rain. He's going to steal my shit. Yep. And he's going to sell it for $100. And then he's going to have to do it again for the next fix that he has. I'm going to get a better stereo. And I started realizing that you can't pick, and me and Harry talk about this a lot of times with people that we would envy in comedy who have a higher status.
Sure.
They're a mess. Like
a lot of them.
Most of them. They're a fucking mess. But you can't cherry pick their life.
You got to buy the whole car. You can't just have the steering wheel.
Yeah,
you got to buy the whole car.
It is.
I've had this conversation. I realized I was climbing the wrong mountain.
Yeah.
I have a kid. My kid looks me in the eyes. I went, okay, I won. I'm good. It's over. All the rest is all bonus. Now it's all in a different kind of thing. That desperation to fill the hole with the approval of strangers, the idea that I was going to be this thing, this name, because it's a fear of death in a lot of ways. I'll be famous and I'll live forever in a way.
I want to be remembered.
I want to be remembered, yes.
And now I went,
my kid's everything.
Yeah.
This kid's perfect.
That was my thought when I had mine.
Well, it puts it in perspective.
Let's let him go. Come on, pump your shit. Whatever you want.
Rich is funny on, if you want to see me dance. I think I bother you with my dancing.
A little bit.
I think you had to go away from it. You know, this is the thing. I get it. I was making fun of TikTok. You got to be really secure with your sexuality, and it might have brought up some old trauma with your dancing.
No, it's just not.
Not saying you're insecure with your sexuality, but it's just weird.
It's not,
uncomfortable.
It's not pretty, Rich.
I understand. It's getting me a lot of attention.
I get it.
And I'll do what I have to do. But I understand where you went. I can't. You know, I get it. But I understand. I know. I had
the
my parents.
Hairy belly, dude. It's the.
It's the. Yeah, my parents. They had an intervention. I was like, they're
really?
Sitting me down. They were like, you're not gonna get corporate gigs, you may not be on Dante's podcast. And I'm the whole time they're talking, I'm like, you know I've done drugs. Like, this is what you're worried about? Anyways, yes. Rich is funny, one word. Instagram is more diverse. Mm-hmm. Every now and again I put it in dance, but you gotta keep pumping the fucking the stuff. So I'm like, all right, this takes 10 seconds and it gets a lot of attention. Approval, 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 endorphins, endorphins, endorphins. Yes, yes, yes. So Rich is funny, one word. Rich is funny. Thank you so much.
And Rich is
call
very
me.
Funny.
Let's
talk about that thing that we... Okay, all right, man.
Thank you, everybody. We're going to join
you,
us
Rich.
On...
Thank you, bro. Thanks for coming.
Join us over on Patreon where Dante and I are going to do something. We're going to talk about a little bit of stuff. And thank you. We appreciate it.
Cool. Should I go GYBB? Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolutions via podcast. I love y'all. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon, please. Patreon.com/manschool202. And y'all need a consultation, hit me at DanteNero.com. Click on consult. I love y'all. We're out.